A trading update today from one of the blue chips in the resources sector on the JSE, Afrimat Chief Executive Andries van Heerden will take us through the disappointing numbers. And doesn't seem the market's too concerned, though. Andries, it's always good to be talking with you. Headline earnings per share for the 6 months to end August, you warned shareholders today, will be down by between 75 and 85%. Have you had a reverse like this previously in your history as a listed company?
Alec, no. This is the worst it's ever been. It's been an extremely challenging first half of this year. So, no, it's the worst it's ever been.
But what I found interesting, although the share price did drop from, call it 66.5 to just below 63, on opening or when the market was paying attention to this, it rebounded and is trading virtually unchanged from yesterday. I guess that means at least somebody is seeing through the noise.
Yes, Alec, I hope so. It was just the big impact. We had it was almost a perfect storm with three blows that came at once. The one was that ArcelorMittal, who is one of our really big customers on our domestic sales of iron ore, had a freeze of two of their kilns, and we lost quite a significant amount of sales to them in the first couple of months of this year. That had a significant impact. The second thing was on the export line, we saw a bit of a deterioration on the volumes that Transnet could transport for us. And at the same time, we saw the international iron ore price retracting by a good 25%, and the rand strengthening. So that combination also had an impact on our income. And then thirdly, with our Lafarge acquisition, we took over on the 1st of May, and the cement business was in a really bad state when we took over, and we've been making losses in that business for a couple of months, and that's also now starting to turn. And I think the market can see that both on the Mittal side, we've seen that correction and the volumes are back. On the cement side, we've made very good progress, and I'm expecting that turn to happen. If not this month, hopefully next month we'll see that turn happening. On the export side, we saw on the back of the Chinese economy, the recovery there, we saw a recovery on the iron ore price. So I think that's probably what the analysts see. And it was, we also went out on a sense earlier this year, sort of just highlighting that we had those impacts, and I think the market has already discounted that in.
Yeah, it's a lot to do with your own authenticity and credibility, which has been built up over many, many years. But looking forward, Andries, is ArcelorMittal now back on stream? And more importantly, I guess, what's it looking like internationally with the iron ore prices and Transnet's ability to actually get the product through the ports?
Yeah, so ArcelorMittal, from our perspective, we've actually seen an increase in volumes on average monthly volumes to them in the last few months, up until today, is actually higher than what it was in the previous year. So that's a really good sign. On the international side, the iron ore price, it was as low as $89 a couple of weeks ago. That has recovered. It's somewhere that I think this morning it was at about $104. It was at $108 a ton earlier this week, so it's in that sort of band, which is already a significant improvement. On the volumes, we are about 20% below our allocated capacity. Transnet is not, they're not improving yet. There's a lot of work going on behind the scenes to get that right. But I think we all realize that you know, the backlog is just so big, it's going to take a while for them to come back. But Transnet quite consistent on where they are at the moment.
The new CEO needs time, presumably.
Yeah, I think she's doing a fantastic job, but you know, it takes time, as we saw with Eskom. You know, it takes time from the day you realize you have a crisis until you've fixed everything. So, but there's a lot of work that went on, or is still going on, to try and improve the situation, but it's going to take. I would be surprised if we see a significant improvement in performance there in the next year or maybe even 2 years.
The good news, I guess, is that when it does happen, it does immediately impact a business like yours. And you did make mention in your trading update of the improvement in the industrial minerals business because of no load shedding.
Yeah, there we saw significant improvement because in that business where we supply industrial customers, and they were also severely impacted with load shedding, with the recovery, it doesn't only affect our business, it also affects our customers, and we've seen a significant increase in demand from them on the back of this.
So iron ore on the one side, that's had a rough 6 months, but to the end of August, but it's looking better. What about the cement business? Just give us an understanding, if you would, on why you bought Lafarge's assets. Were they real cheap? And how long are you expecting it to take before you get your purchase price back?
Yeah. So Lafarge really has three major types of assets. The one is aggregates and remix, and they have some of the very best quarries in South Africa. And that was really the drawing card. The second asset is the fly ash business, and once again, that is very, very well situated, and it's a very powerful business in the sense that is used as a cement extender, and with this whole drive to low carbon cement, it's going to become more and more important. And then thirdly, the cement business has the cement factory in Lichtenburg and then a grinding plant in Randfontein. There's a lot of potential in that business with, you know, just where the assets are located and the ability to actually make special products for niche markets. The problem is that the cement factory in Lichtenburg was severely neglected. You can't believe that an international company can do that to a quality asset like that. So it's taken, you know, we've put the best people we could lay our hands on in there to turn that business around. And, you know, I'm actually speaking to you from Lichtenburg right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm quite happy that the team is making good progress and that we'll see that business returning to its former glory. But the main drawing card was the aggregates business. And I'm cautious to say how long it's going to take to pay the purchase price back. But we, you know, in terms of the quality of the assets, we really did not pay a lot of money. In total, it was about 1 billion rand, and I hope to pay that back in a very, very short space of time.
And I guess people who know Afrimat know that that's the heart of your business. That's where you come from, the aggregates business, construction materials and so on. So you knew exactly what you were going to be getting. Just tell us a little more about Lichtenburg and the people of the town presumably will be holding thumbs that you can turn it around. Is it because it has to be fairly important to their future?
I'm sure it is. Yeah, it, you know, we are one of the big employers in town, and it, you know, it's, we're also operating a limestone mine just outside of town, and you know, there's a big impact on that local community as well, both in terms of job creation or jobs that is on the line there, but also in terms of our social and labour plans and what we are planning in terms of our upliftment of the community, in line with our normal social and labour plans, so yeah, it's a small town that has, you know, the other big employer in town recently moved out of town. So I think it's quite important for us from a Lichtenberg perspective to get this business back to its former glory.
And when do you see that happening, or when would you be in a position that you could tell shareholders mission accomplished?
I was recently accused of being impatient, so I hope I'm not wrong that we should see the turn before the end of this financial year, and then start seeing a proper improvement in performance in the new financial year. Our financial year ends in February, and I'm hopeful that we'll see a significant improvement before then.
Andreas, you always do tell it straight. You've had the improvement now from Eskom, which is already being impacting positively on the company. You've been struggling with Transnet, and as you say, it's going to take a little while for that to come through. Other businessmen are getting terribly excited about the Government for National Unity. How are you seeing that?
I share that sentiment. We can already unfortunately with those three big impacts that we saw, the green shoots that we are seeing, for instance, in our aggregates business, has been dwarfed in the first half. But we are seeing that already in our aggregates business. We see an improvement already, and we can see that the business confidence is improving. I was recently one of our big property developers told me that he hasn't approved an investment in South Africa for the last 15 years. And they've just now approved a property development in South Africa, and they're quite big. So short answer is I really share that sentiment.
But what about jobs? This Government of National Unity needs to be creating jobs. Is it going to be like you described with us on Transnet? It's just going to take a long time. Or might these green shoots convert into something that voters look at and say, okay, we'll give these guys another chance come the local and then perhaps the next elections?
Alec, it's difficult for me to speak on a macro scale, but if I can maybe share with you, we bought the Nkomati anthracite mine in 2020, and it was in business rescue, and there were 150 people working for that mine at that stage. We've since then turned the business around, and we're still not where we want to be with that mine, but it's already significantly improved. And as we speak, we employ 660 people. So there's about 510 jobs created just by fixing a business that was terminally ill. And we expect, for instance, a very similar thing to happen in the cement business. And I think that's where job creation is going to happen, in the real economy, where we can get businesses to perform to their full potential. And that just sucks people in. You just need to staff your business with the right people and the right skills, which we have in this country. We still have enough of that.
So why were you confident enough to go and do that deal when most are sitting on the sidelines?
I think I'm just by nature, me and my team, we're just by nature very, very positive. We're very optimistic. We sat with a very strong balance sheet. We knew the quality and the value of these assets. We knew the potential. That's what we do. We buy businesses that are underperforming, and we buy them at reasonable prices, and then we turn them around. So that's what we attempt this time, and I'm quite hopeful that the team will achieve that again.
You're very modest. From a standing start to a 10 billion rand market cap business, Afrimat is truly one of the stars on the JSE, and Andreas van Heerden. How long have you been CEO for, Andreas?
We'll be celebrating 18 years in November.
18 years. And any thoughts of taking early retirement, or you're there in the saddle for a while?
Alec, I'm only turning 59 at the end of the year, and I don't think my wife wants me back home yet. So I plan to do this for a couple of weeks. We actually have a lot of fun, and it's stressful. The first half of this year was extremely stressful, but but it's still fun, and I'm really working with the best of the best in the team that we have. So I really enjoy my job, and I still see myself doing it for a while.
Andries van Heerden is the Chief Executive of Afrimat, and I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.